pull us into His presence. In 1 Corinthians, we are reminded flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit imperishable. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Now let's praise our God as we sing together hymn number 477, All Heaven Declares the Glory of the Risen Lord. Let us come to God in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that we come into the presence of the one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Creator of all. We thank you that the risen Christ has taught us from Scripture that His death, burial, resurrection, and ascension into glory, into your presence, that through that death, through that rising again, that we are made fit for heaven, that we may have eternal life. May the living Lord breathe on us His peace, that our eyes may be open to recognize His presence with us as we gather in the name of our Savior. We thank You that through the might of the resurrection of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, that the old order of sin and death has been done away with and all things are made new in Christ. Lord, as we celebrate with joy the rising of Christ from the dead, may our hearts be moved to thankfulness. Lord, we thank You on this day You won victory over death, raising Jesus from the grave and giving us eternal life. We thank You for our salvation, that death has been overcome, and that the gates to everlasting life have been thrown open, and that we are found welcome as children of God. Lord, we pray that You will lead us into truth. Not only that we will grasp these things in our minds, but, O Lord, that we will hold them firmly in our hearts, and that we will be encouraged by the things that You have done. That we may know, our God, that we are richly blessed in Christ, that we are loved by You. Father, we pray that You will help us. Lord, help us to bring that message of new life to those who are worn and tired, that new love might turn hard-heartedness into fellow feeling. Lord, we pray that You will forgive us where we have failed to serve You, where we have failed to speak out in love towards others. Father, we pray that as You forgive us in the Lord Jesus Christ for all that we've done that is wrong, we pray that that sense of joy and freedom that comes from that forgiveness that the Holy Spirit reminds us of, that we, our God, will lift our voices to join with our brothers and sisters in Christ to praise Your great name for Christ the Savior's sake. Amen. Now, when God's people repent of our sins, Jesus pronounces His pardon and grants us the right and the authority to be restored and to have restored to us the joy of salvation. That restoration of hope that our new life in Christ is secure is because we worship a risen Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And let's continue to praise Him as we sing together hymn number 396, number 396, From Heaven You Came, Helpless Babe.
Helpless babe, entered all world Your glory.
Welcome to our evening service. Once again, our brother John Scott would be delivering the word this evening. And we warmly welcome Brother Scott once again. On Thursday, we'll be having prayer meeting at 7:30 p.m. And next Sunday, both morning and evening services will be led by Brother David Ducker. And the church bulletin for the month of April is out. And if you'd like to have it by email, please let us know. And you can also visit our website, that is hwec.org.uk, where you can find all the details of the events of our church. And that concludes the notices. Thank you.
Now let us turn again to God in prayer to ask for His help as we come to read His Word. Lord, we have to confess that we do not always find it easy to hear Your voice through Your Word. But today we do ask that You will reveal more of the resurrected Christ through the reading and preaching of Your Word. Set our heavy hearts on fire with love for You, and send us from this place rejoicing in the God of resurrection through Christ our Lord. Amen. Now, can I ask you to turn, please, to Psalm number 16. Psalm 16. Number 16, I'm beginning to read from verse 1. Keep me safe, my God, for in You I take refuge. I say to the Lord, You are my Lord. Apart from You, I have no good thing. I say of the holy people who are in the land, they are the noble ones in whom is all my delight. Those who run after other gods will suffer more and more. I will not pour out libations of blood to such gods, or take up their names on my lips. Lord, You alone are my portion and my cup. You make my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night, my heart instructs me. I keep my eyes always on the Lord. With Him at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure, because You will not abandon me to the realm of the dead, nor will You let Your faithful one see decay. You make known to me the path of life. You fill me with joy in Your presence, with eternal pleasures at Your right hand. And we trust that God will bless that reading of His Word to our hearts. Now let us come again before God in prayer. We bow, worship. We come in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank You that Jesus, our Savior, has conquered death. Yet we know that You are the chief stone that was rejected by the builders. You have become the cornerstone. And that You make us into living stones. We pray to You for Christians that we all may live in the joy of the resurrection. And that our joy will be expressed as we gather to worship. We pray, our God, for all the leaders of the church. We ask, our God, that You will help us all to serve Your people with a servant mindset. And that You will strengthen us all for Your service. We pray too for the leaders of the nations. May they exercise their office as servants of justice and peace. We thank you, Lord, for the prospect of talks between the United States and North and South Korea and China. And we pray that this will be a means of bringing peace to that region. Pray also for wise voices to prevail between Russia and the Western nations, that harmony might be restored. We pray, our God, that those that you have placed in the position of leadership, that they will be wise in what they say. And, O Lord, that we might know peace in our time. We pray, our God, for those who feel that they can only express a sense of joy in their salvation with a muted voice. Underlying is a sense of weakness, perhaps because of illness or grief or old age or perhaps loneliness. We pray that today, tonight, that the resurrection may be a source of comfort and aid for us all, that we will be blessed in our hearts. And, O Lord, as we reflect for a moment on what our Savior Christ has done, that we will be strengthened in our faith, that we will grow in confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, our God, that as we begin ministry here, that you will bless. Lord, we look to you to lead and to guide, to give the strength, the physical strength that's needed, the emotional strength, the spiritual strength. And, O God, that we will come to know each other and love each other in the Lord, and that we might encourage one another in the faith. Lord, we pray that you will lead us and guide us. We come now to pray as our Savior taught us to say. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let's continue in our praise, this time as we sing together number 315, 315, Meekness and Majesty, Manhood and Deity. Now, Psalm 16 is a psalm of confidence. Confidence that arises from the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, while Psalm 16 is a psalm of confidence, as I come to this psalm, it doesn't really describe me. You see, I struggle having confidence in God. During the daytime, whether at work or at home, as circumstances confront me, I couldn't really say that I have a peaceful, quiet confidence in God. If the circumstances are particularly stressful, it can keep me awake at night. And if things are turned over and over again throughout the night in my mind, I couldn't really say that I have a peaceful, quiet confidence in God during the night. So if I struggle with confidence in God during the day, and at night it only gets worse, what must it mean when I think of my inevitable death? Will it be illness, heart problems, an accident? It's not a very pleasant activity to contemplate the day and the manner of your death, and I certainly don't do that with any air of confidence. In fact, the only part of this psalm that I can really identify with is the cry for help in the first verse. Keep me safe, O God, for in you I take refuge. Out of my worry, out of my stress, out of my doubt, out of my lack of confidence, I have no difficulty whatsoever in crying for help, appealing for safety and security. Lord, I would cry, keep me safe, because I have a real issue with lack of confidence. Lord, what have you done to help me with this lack of confidence? John, I have made provision for you and your fellow Christians by giving you Psalm 16 to sing and to pray. You see, I knew that my people would struggle with confidence in me, and so I have given you a song and a prayer of confidence for you to sing and to pray. Does that mean if I sing this song about confidence in God, that it will really help be more confident in the Lord? Yes, it really will. You see, we need to consider what it is that we do when we sing. Sometimes we think that our singing is merely only praising God. And yes, singing is in praise of God, but there's more to it than that. Not only do we sing our songs to God, but we sing to one another. You know those verses in Ephesians and Colossians that speaks about psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs? Well, in Colossians 3 and 16, it says, "Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude." Not only do we sing to God, but we sing to one another to encourage one another, and we sing to make truth memorable. When we sing in congregational worship, Christ is present with us in a special way that is different from all other times. Christ promises that where two or three are gathered in His name, that there He will be in the midst. And when we sing, Christ is the divine song singer, standing in the midst of His people, singing over us, singing through us, and we sing in Him. And our worship is mediated through the Lord Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad that your singing is mediated through Christ? everything that we do in worship is mediated through the Lord Jesus Christ. And as I sing this psalm of confidence, the truth of confidence in the God of resurrection is taken up by the Holy Spirit, moving me from my cry of desolation, my cry for help, to a place of confidence in God. But you say, I can't believe that just singing can make a difference. I would like you to try and persuade the supporters on a Saturday afternoon as they stand on the terraces singing their team on, driving them on, noisy singing, pushing them towards success and victory. Singing makes a difference. If you make it your habit of reading through the Psalms, you will notice that about 75% of the Psalms, the writer is complaining or moaning about something. In some of those Psalms of lament, the author moans the whole way through, right to the end, and there is seemingly no light to lighten the darkness at all. But in Psalm 16, the moan or the cry is limited to verse 1. He calls upon the name of God. Now, in liturgical terms, we would say that that is a prayer of invocation, where he invokes the name of God. And that brings him into God's sanctuary, into God's presence. And God gives the psalmist, God gives the singer, the sanctuary's perspective on what the issue is. Sometimes God is seen as the speaker, but quite often God puts the words, the song, upon the lips of the psalmist and has him sing the truth. We can't really be certain what the occasion was for the composition of this particular psalm, but some of the content might suggest that David wrote this when he was running as a fugitive from King Saul. David, you see, he might well have reason for lack of confidence during the day. He's on the run. He has no place that he can call home. And the danger of ambush seemed to be around every rock, every corner. And danger, of course, was multiplied and intensified at night as they tried to snatch some sleep with the risk of a nighttime attack. And whether it was day or night, the danger of death was always with them. I think the psalm divides up into three parts, or four if you count verse 1 as a separate section, where David cries out for help. Verse 2 to 6, confidence in the God of resurrection in the daytime. Verse 7 to 8, confidence in the God of resurrection in the nighttime. Verse 9 to 11, confidence in the God of resurrection at the time of death. Now, the reason why the theme of resurrection dominates the psalm is because of the promise that you see there in verse 10. You will not abandon me to the realm of the dead, nor will you let your faithful ones see decay. That is applied to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ by both Peter and Paul in the New Testament. Peter in that great sermon delivered on the day of Pentecost, and Paul in his sermon at the synagogue there in Antioch. Now, the original setting is the experience of David. But the ultimate fulfillment of this psalm can only be in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. One commentator, speaking very generally of prophecy in the psalm, says, the web of prophecy is mainly woven from the personal experiences of the psalmists. But the controlling Spirit of God suddenly or gradually carried them away into realms of thought and feeling wholly beyond their actual circumstances. We're speaking of something that was given birth to in their own experience. But the content and the fulfillment of the things that they sang, the things that they said, awaited the fulfillment when the Lord Jesus Christ came. The weight of that prophecy and its New Testament interpretation has now got to dominate the whole of the psalm as we read Psalm 16 through New Testament spectacles. Now, turning to this first section, we can learn to have confidence in God through every day of our lives. The psalmist is caused here to sing and to reflect upon the relationship that he has with God, and he does this through using three different names for God. The first name for God is found in verse 1 as the psalmist appeals to God, using the name for God that means strong or mighty one. I can take refuge in God because of the character of God. He is the strong and the mighty one. It is the strong and the mighty one to whom I appeal. I'm looking to him, the one who has the power to deliver, the one who has the might, the will, the love, the care for me. I am coming to the mighty God. And as I sing of the mighty God, I'm making that truth memorable. Here I'm coming with my lack of confidence during the day, and God has given me this song to sing, and I'm singing about my mighty God. Then in verse 2, he uses the name that was first revealed to Moses at the burning bush scene, and it is the name of the covenant-keeping God. The psalmist is now reminding his heart that he has been brought into covenant relationship, and that because of the covenant faithfulness of God, he has every reason for confidence. You see, not only is he mighty, not only is he strong, but he has come alongside me and he has brought me into this binding relationship where he will never let me go. I will not desert you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Every single promise that I have ever made, they now become yes to you in Jesus Christ. In fulfillment of covenant promises, Jesus Christ has become our covenant representative. He has come and taken our sin upon himself and died in our place. What does my singing do? It is reminding me that I am in a covenant relationship with the mighty God. He is my covenant Lord. Singing of the covenant Lord causes the psalmist to reflect upon this aspect of the relationship. It helps my confidence to reflect upon how close I have been brought to God in Jesus Christ. If you are a Christian, you are a new creation in Christ Jesus, and today you are as near to God as Christ is, because you are now in union with Christ, and all the blessings and the benefits of the Christian life flow from the fact that we are in union with our covenant Redeemer, our covenant representative, the Lord Jesus Christ. David says, apart from you, covenant Lord, I have no good thing. Now, David is not trying to devalue the importance of his life or his work, his play or his possessions. He's just putting it all into perspective. Maybe my confidence ebbs and flows the way it does because I fail to grasp the perspective of that kind of single-mindedness that we see expressed here by David. Lord, I have nothing apart from you. Lord, I have nothing but you, or putting it in New Testament terms, for me to live is Christ. So easy to put confidence in other things. And as those other things get stripped away from us or become devalued in some way,
our confidence begins to fail. But when our confidence is in the mighty God, in the covenant-keeping God, when we realize that apart from the covenant-keeping God, we have nothing. And as we sing about that truth, we're reminding our hearts. And as I sing about it, I'm reminding me. And as you hear me sing about it, I'm reminding you. And as I hear you sing about it, you're reminding me. We're singing this psalm of confidence that we might have confidence. Singing the names of God, reminding us of who we are in Christ. David then uses a third title for God in verse 2. Again, I say to the covenant Lord, you are my Lord, meaning you are my master. You are my master. You direct my life. You cause me to stand. Singing the names of God is reminding me of the character of God, the relationship that I am in, and the role that God plays in my life. Verse 3 is an incredibly difficult verse to translate into English, so I'm just going to work with how the NIV has chosen to translate it. The psalmist there takes delight in the other people of God. Because he has been brought into relationship with God through Jesus Christ, it means we are part of a larger family. I have brothers and sisters in Christ to encourage me. I have brothers and sisters in Christ who will remind me about the covenant Lord. I have brothers and sisters in Christ who will remind me about the mighty God and that God is our master. And so we can rejoice together as we encourage one another and build each other up in the faith. Verse 4 points to those who have chosen other gods. The psalmist refuses to throw his lot in with those people to offer sacrifices or even to take the name of those false gods upon his lips. Now, sometimes in the 21st century, we can feel a little bit smug because we feel that, well, of all the things that I've done that are wrong, I don't have false gods. And we feel kind of good about ourselves, kind of righteous. And we think, well, I'm not certainly not guilty of that one. But let's pause for thought here for a moment. A false god is anything other than God that we place confidence in. We can place our confidence in our ability to be people smart. We can place confidence in our business acumen, confidence in our craft, confidence in what we think is a humble mindset, confidence in the idea of the general kind of good guy that I feel I am. You place confidence in any other god, says the psalmist, and you will suffer more and more. There will be this lack of confidence because you've placed your confidence in something else. And apart from the covenant Lord, we have no good thing. Now David returns to this single-minded confidence in the covenant God in verses 5 and 6. He said, Lord, you alone are my portion and my cup. Make my lot secure. Now we said something similar tonight when we prayed the Lord's Prayer. Give us this day my daily bread, my cup, my portion. The lot in life that I have is secure in the almighty power that God has used in raising Christ from the dead, so he exerts that same power in establishing us as new men and women in Christ, and he has made our lot secure in Jesus Christ. Paul says in Philippians chapter 1, being confident of this, that he who began good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ. I'm not finished with you yet. I am still building. I am the good work that I began in you. I will complete that work. It's a done deal. It will be complete. Verse 6, the psalmist says, "The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance." A lack of confidence can come from a lack of contentment, not satisfied with the lot in life that God has given us. Now, as David refers to the boundary lines, he is alluding here to the land of Canaan, which was divided up between the tribes after the conquest of the land at the time of Joshua. Now, when David was from the tribe of Judah, yet he possessed no land at this point. He had no home. He had no place to lay his head. He was on the run as a fugitive, being hunted in danger of death. What does he mean then when he says the boundary lines? What do you mean, boundary, David? You don't even have a patch of ground. Never mind building a boundary around it. He was referring to the idea of back at the time when Joshua was dividing up the land, the priests got no land. They were given no land because the Lord was their sole inheritance. And that's the experience of David. My lot in life is good because the strong and mighty God is my covenant Lord and Master, and I have nothing good but my Lord. My home, my job, my hobbies, my food, my drink, my play, everything good comes from the hand of a living God who has made my walk in life pleasant, because apart from whatever the circumstances may do to me, the true perspective is I live on resurrection ground. I live on the resurrection side of the cross, and through rising with Christ, my daily walk with God is a new creation in Christ Jesus. Lord, why did you give me this song to sing? So that you might grow in confidence. Confidence through the day, throughout each day. But that's not the only time that I struggle, Lord. I struggle at night. And he needed to have confidence in the God of resurrection in the nighttime. You can see this in verse 7 and 8. I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night, my heart instructs me. I keep my eyes always on the Lord. With him at my right hand, I will not be shaken. You see, if you're troubled about your health, your family, your job, your relationship, if you suffer from the oppression of loneliness or depression, those long hours of darkness can be particularly difficult. It can be a time of fear when you see every hour of the night on the clock. God has taken that into consideration for you, and he has put a bit about that into the song that he has put on our lips. Even at night, the Lord's counsel instructs. I look consistently to the Lord, and with the Lord at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Now, the psalmist doesn't physically see the Lord. But does that mean that if I take my eyes off the Lord, he will no longer be at my right hand? No. He will always be at your right hand. But if you take your eyes, your focus off that truth, you may not see him. You may not sense him. You may not think of his presence there, but he is still there. The next time I lack confidence in the Lord at nighttime, I'm going to remind myself that God is right there at my right hand. Who is there? The mighty and strong God, the covenant Lord, the Master, the one who has made my life secure. He is with me. But what about confidence in the God of resurrection at the time of our death? To help us here, God needs to get us thinking about the fulfillment of this prophecy in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. The only way really that I can have confidence in God, either by day, by night, or to understand, is to understand what God has accomplished in Christ. Verse 9, my heart is glad. You see, I'm singing this psalm. I started off in verse 1 crying to the Lord for help. I invoked the name of God. I called upon God. And He has given me the sanctuary's perspective. I'm singing about God's character, and my confidence is beginning to increase. My heart is glad, my tongue rejoices, my body will rest secure. I can rest secure because I'm a new creation in Christ. The song of confidence that I have been made to sing, it's making a difference. The truth about what God has done for me in Christ, it makes my heart glad and my tongue rejoice. Verse 10. I will not be abandoned by God in death. Because Christ lives, I will live also. Because of that insight that God has given us about death and resurrection, He has made known to us the path of life. It is the truth of what God has in store for us in eternity that is breaking in upon the here and now, that fortifies our lives, that gives us confidence, that gives us strength, that gives us confidence to live in the day, through the night, even anticipating the end of our time here on earth. The way of life that I have been made to know is one of walking with God in confidence every day through the night. And that way of life leads to what is described in verse 11. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. Now I want you to see the little trick here that the psalmist has used to really encourage our hearts. In the night time, where is God? He is at my right hand. In eternity, where will you be? You will be taken to be at His right hand. Can you see what the psalmist is doing there? That little thing that is so simple but is so encouraging. The God who is with you through your day, through your night, who is constantly at your right hand, He will hold you secure in this life, and in the life to come He will take you and place you at His right hand. Why? Because of the covenant faithfulness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The anticipation of what God has in store for us is helping us grasp the joy of His presence, because He is with us every moment of the day, every moment at night. He is at our right hand. And what have I to look forward to? Being at His right hand when Christ comes, when Christ takes us to be with Him. Can you see that this song of confidence is arising out of the fact that Christ has been raised from the dead? Should we struggle with a lack of confidence? I suppose we shouldn't, but we do. Does God take that into account? Of course He does. That's why He has given us the song to sing, that we might sing ourselves to confidence. It's not a psychological trick. It's reminding ourselves of the truth of who God is, His character, His work, what He has done for us in Christ. As He has raised Jesus Christ from the dead, so He will raise us. He holds me for salvation. He holds me because He is at my right hand, and He will take us to be at His right hand for all eternity, through His death, through His burial, through His resurrection from the dead. Let us pray. Lord, we thank You that we can sing and pray the psalm, and that our confidence can grow in You, the God of resurrection. Lord, we do feel our confidence growing little by little at times, and then we slip back when we take our eye off You. But we pray, our God, that we will use these words that You have given us, that we might be able to content our souls, having confidence in the God of resurrection. Help us, we pray. We do believe, but help us in our unbelief. For Christ the Savior's sake. Amen. Now let's sing our closing hymn, number 698. Number 698. And it's really pledging ourselves, as we have thought about the God of confidence, we now sing, I am trusting You, Lord Jesus. You have died for me, trusting You for full salvation, great and free. Number 698. Let us by faith receive the benediction from the Lord. As Christ burst from the tomb, may new life burst forth from us and show itself in acts of love and healing to a hurting world. And may Christ, who lives forever and is the source of our new life, keep your hearts rejoicing and grant you the peace of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, this day and always. Amen.